Well, today on North State Give and Take, I'm going to interview Sherry Scott. And Sherry has a little business here in Chico called Harvest and Habitats. I'm sure some of you have heard of Harvest and Habitats. It's a little plant shop.
A little plant nursery, yeah.
Yes.
And it's grown out of my farmer's market business called Grub Grown.
Good. Let's back up on that. I can remember you there at the market. Grub Grown.
Yes.
And so that's sort of where you began.
Correct.
And you just started with little plants.
Yeah, well, I had moved to Chico about 25 years ago with the intention of opening a native plant nursery. But things went sideways and I went more into food production and went into some farming and met the folks that started Grub and me.
Yeah.
And that took off. And while at the Grub Cooperative, I started I applied for a grant to be able to give away some plant starts out in Chapman Town and around. And so it just got my nerve up to start to continue
something big
growing.
Yeah. I know that you were out at Riparia with some little greenhouse thing. You had some plants out there too. Was that afterwards? Or was that while you were doing it with Grub?
Yeah, so at Grub Cooperative is when I started, and just to make it confusing, we had, before we had the cooperative, Grub organization had gardens all over town, and Riparia is one of our gardens.
Okay.
But then once we were at the Dayton location, we gave that up, but then...
Okay.
Then I came back around.
So do you still have plants out there at Riparia?
At Riparia, that's my main
space. That's your main place,
space, yeah.
Yes. Which sometimes I've gone by. It's wonderful. It's the little greenhouse with just everything in it. Kind of pouring out of it.
Yes. That describes me and my life. My house, my mind, my car.
I like it. So then you went into the farmer's market. That was the first thing sort of out there on for people to be able to get plants.
Correct. So I had my friend Greg built the cart that it's a trailer that's got multiple layers that hold all the plants. So I've been doing this maybe up to 10 years.
Yeah.
It goes fast.
That.
So I don't know.
It does. Yep.
And also kind of simultaneous started to sell at Chico Natural.
Uh-huh.
I'd say it was somewhere around the same time.
Uh-huh. So right outside of Chico Natural, there's that little stand there that has plants.
Yeah, correct.
So you keep those in there.
Uh-huh.
And so tell me about the plants. I know you have kind of an idea about what you have and what you choose to propagate.
Yeah, so at the farmer's market, it was, as there were many different plant sellers, it was my defined space to sell only the edible plants. So sometimes I was upset about having that line, but it also made me expand to like look at lots of different herbs around the world and trial them to see if they could grow here, different medicinal and culinary tea herbs. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I think it was a good thing because I really got to learn more about.
So that was one of the criteria for being in the market. It had to be something for food consumption.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so then you grew from there.
Yeah. So I have lots of really unusual culinary medicinal herbs. And one of my favorite things is the interactions between, there's more of an international crowd at the market. And I just love hearing the stories about the plants, herbs, and foods. And when somebody sees something that they, you know, from
their childhood,
that they haven't seen grown, I love when they get that excited and know, like, that was the missing piece to the family recipe. And vegetables. So that was the other thing that I grew.
Starts of those. So, give me the name of a couple of those herbs that we don't know anything about.
Mm. Yeah, so there's one that sometimes is called fish mint, and it's not a mint at all, and it smells kind of fishy, and it's a really beautiful plant. It's can take over, just I think why the mint part is in the name, And somebody had told me that it's the essential piece to a real spring roll.
Wow.
And that, you know, you
wouldn't
find it.
It's
not used anymore.
Yeah.
And, then I like using it as for a fish sauce, like a vegan fish sauce, an alternative for different Thai dishes and others.
I'll have to come over and smell some.
Yeah, so it's just got an umami. It's got a weird kind of smell, but, you know, it the flavor
it
just
adds
to
those
the
things.
Umami
Neat. And do you know where that's from?
I believe Southeast Asia.
Must be.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So you're just seeing what you can find out there. If anybody has any ideas.
Yes. And there was a sweet Lebanese family who had given me their mother stock of a za'atar thyme, which is the best translation, that is a beautiful plant and just really fun to use.
It's a thyme.
It's distantly related, but the leaves are kind of thyme-ish shaped, but it's not in the same
genus. Flavor of the scent of it is not.
It's in that kind of realm, but still different. Yeah. And for some regions and families, it's an essential piece to the za'atar mix.
That's so neat. Yeah. So what you're selling are starts.
Yeah, plant starts.
Little plant starts.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got a lot of them.
Yeah. They are small because I could fit more to bring to market.
Yeah.
So there's different sized pots that are available to grow in. And I had chosen one that fits a certain size that the trailer was fabricated for. And then also to maximize being able to bring different varieties. So anything bigger would...
Yeah. Wouldn't work. Yeah.
One of the things that I do is I've got my mother garden, and so I oftentimes, when they go to flower or when they go to seed, then I'll just try to remember to seed things immediately. And then there's other stuff that can be divided, and then there's some woody
stuff. So most
stuff
of it
that
is done that way, from a seed or kind of the root divided.
Root or cutting, those are the three.
So that's probably an ongoing thing that you have to kind of keep in mind.
Yeah, I'd be on top of all the time.
Yeah, no, I would imagine.
Because there are some things that it can be year-round and other things that are very seasonal.
Yeah, right. I know you don't sell them all. They just must compound and kind of keep growing and growing. That's the thing with growing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I keep wanting to get more. So I was, by opening this store and also...
Oh, yeah.
And also I got permission through the farmer's market to add to what I bring. But now I've got some native plants and useful plants.
Good. So that's what I wondered about, yeah.
That's really my aim, is I don't do a lot of, like, the common, like, there's a lot of plants that have been hybridized, and I do sell some, like, hybrid vegetables and stuff, but when it comes to the flowers, I like to maintain some of the original species because, you know, that's what evolved with the insects and animals, and that's what's going to be the best for habitat.
Yeah.
So once in a while I get really charmed by something that I just have to carry, but for the most part, I have more of the original and old fashioned stuff and not big fancy blowout.
Yeah. Color.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like the big box stores, you go in there and it's just all about fast and color.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
And one of the things I, like to share is if you are somebody who is concerned, I mean, most of those have been in a greenhouse where there's lots of inputs with, all the electricity, with the different chemicals to make it bloom faster and stuff. So it's the other side of why I don't go that route.
Yeah.
And why mine aren't all big and bloomy like the ones you find there.
right. Yeah. They're natural little guys.
Yeah. They are very hardy. That's the one thing that I hear from people is they're not fussy. They're not prissy little plants.
They're sturdy. Back to the store or back to your little nursery here. So sometime along the line, here you are at the market, then you were able to work out a spot. Which is where you are open, what is it, Thursday through Sunday?
Yeah, Thursday through Sunday for this season, the cool season, it's going to be 10 to 3. And then when it gets warm again, we'll go back to 10 to 4.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where is that?
So it's at the corner of 17th Street and Park Avenue. It's in the backyard. I share the same address with 1078 Gallery and Equilateral Coffee. And I'm all the way in the backyard. So some people find it hard to find me and my signs. I'm terrible at signage. But that's...
Yeah. Well, there's a sign out in the street if you look for it.
when I'm open. Yeah.
Yeah, when you put it out there. Yeah.
And there's the neon sign in the... Yeah. In the building that says plant nursery.
Right.
But still takes an extra step to...
Yeah. So you can go get a cup of coffee and then you go back out and look at plants. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's tables out there and just all sorts of sturdy little plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got little descriptions. So some people like to cruise and just read about stuff and learn.
Think about what they might like.
Yeah.
Not with an idea. But then I'm sure some people must come and say, hey, do you have...
Yes. Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I'm always willing to help. But yeah. And then so having this store just allowed me to do more like fruit trees and bare root. I've got a lot of strawberries in right now. And then also expand my native plant.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Plants. Yeah. Yeah. Some bigger ones. Yeah.
So I do. So yeah. So my selection of native plants is growing.
Growing. You've been listening to an interview with Sherry Scott from Harvest and Habitat, a nursery here in Chico. My name is Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take. Back to my interview with Sherry Scott from Harvest and Habitat, a little nursery here in Chico. Before we go into kind of the harvest part of it and the seed exchange, I want to have a little story about what Sherry and I did. I think it was last year. I had found that male praying mantis, and you had a female praying mantis. So we brought the male over. We didn't know what happened. We hoped that they found each other. And they did.
They did.
They did.
And they laid an egg case.
Yes.
You know, they laid some eggs.
Yeah. And it was very neat to go over when they started to come out of that little egg case to watch them drop down, those tiny little guys.
Yeah. I had never seen them hatch like that. And it was fun and wild. And it was just that perfect time. A lot of kids happened to be in that day. It was like if you've ever seen the way a butterfly slowly like opens up its wings and it dries out and it's hanging by the thread.
Yeah.
That's the way the praying mantids
are.
They're so tiny.
They're a perfect little praying mantis. They're just little.
Yeah,
that was really fun. Just to sit there and watch and watch and all of a sudden one would drop out. It was neat.
It was
good.
And they're such chameleons too, because after that, I thought maybe they had all been eaten, but because the blue jays were hanging around after that.
Yeah.
And then slowly I'd see a few, and then customers would say that one hitched a ride home.
So good. So I remember we were like, oh, gee, where are they? Uh-huh. So let's just do that. The seed exchange. There's an idea.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've been working on, I think it's 14 or 15 years now, is a free seed exchange. And it's been different places over the years. And the hope is that we have a unique climate, and the heat, the extreme heat, is not our friend. And one of the things that we are at a loss at least in the backyard situation, is tomatoes. So it's just so hot, it doesn't cool down anymore, and so the tomatoes will drop their flowers.
Yeah.
And or the pollen becomes sterile. You know, farmers can do it because they have open space and it cools down at night, but in more in town, it doesn't. But the aim has always been, for one, to get more people gardening and to help so that lack of money or finances to buy the seeds isn't a barrier. But another one is just to grow together and to create some adapted varieties or discover some adapted varieties. So if somebody's got a tomato plant that just blew up and it's not a hybrid, mm-hmm. then if they were to save some seeds and then we get people around yeah. the neighborhood growing it, and with every generation it will become more and more adapted
yeah.
to our climate. So that's
kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. Then. You know, I'm trying to share some new strategies for folks.
Yeah.
Like maybe let the farmers grow all the big slicers and then yep. choose some of the smaller fruited ones, because most people can have better luck with the smaller fruited. Uh-huh. Also going towards determinate tomatoes. So those ones are the ones that just have a shorter fruiting span, usually kind of all at once. And they're also usually really early ones, like from 55 days to 75 mm-hmm. days. So you're kind of assured that you'll get at least one that mm-hmm. early fruiting yeah. before it gets too hot.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to water it and like mm-hmm. complain about the tomato. You could just be done and
done.
Then start one again at yeah. that towards the end of the summer that will ripen into August, September.
Or September.
October, yeah. uh-huh. And uh-huh. now like we used to be able to harvest some tomatoes into November, but we've been having a lot of early frost the last 2 years, October uh-huh. frost.
That uh-huh. kind takes of, them out. Yeah. To get the word out there for people that if they have a tomato plant that does great, or if they another plant that has some of the characteristics that you want.
Yeah, that are thriving and just giving you, despite yeah. the heat and the weather, that are just really producing a lot.
Okay. So when you do the seed exchange, do people come in and kind of, so they bring in some seeds and they can tell you a little bit about their harvest and or how that was for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a frenzy.
Okay.
So what we had started, and we don't have all the details as a group this year, I'm working with the Butte County Local Food Network
sure.
and some other folks. But what we had done for a couple years in the past was have a half hour early time before we open the doors to the general public. And that would be for people who brought seeds to share.
Yeah.
And that allowed people to talk about their plant. Like they can share their stories. Like
yeah.
Has it been passed down through the families?
Yeah.
Are there special needs that yeah. has or special qualities or some how to cook them?
Yeah.
And so that was really sweet. And then people can leave their stories in like on the jar that they leave. Or if they really want to stand by them and share, they could do that too. But normally yeah. it's potluck style with the seeds semi-organized into categories and uh-huh. then just people.
They come or just in little come envelopes and they take what
yeah,
they...
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we encourage people not to take a whole packet of
sure.
things because most of the time it's more than one needs
yeah.
anyhow.
Yeah.
But to bring little envelopes and
yeah.
you know and write down
it.
What they are.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But yeah, this year we're going to be back at the church at the Trinity Methodist over by the farmer's market. Just got confirmation today.
Oh.
So, and that's the first Saturday of February, which is, I believe, February 4th.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah. And one of the things that we also have been doing for some years is also, I mean, I say, you know, we call it the seed and scion exchange. I'll define the scion in a moment, but it's also people bring maybe some tools that they don't use anymore, or it's basically an exchange of anything
mm-hmm.
plant matters. So people dig up their lilies or you mm-hmm. know, other things that spread. And
yeah.
so we've got all different things we exchange. But exciting to me is also the scion exchange, because it's a little bit more advanced for folks, but it's for grafting. So grafting fruit trees primarily.
Yeah.
So people will bring in some cuttings of their trees, preferably taken while it's still cool in like January and kept in the fridge in a Ziploc bag. And then you graft it onto your existing fruit trees. Or if you had one that died and there's some sprouts coming back, or like from a fire, but there's still sprouts coming, you can use that rootstock to graft Neat. Something different yeah. or new on it.
Uh-huh. So that's a big
one. It takes a little bit more, forethoughts to take those in advance. Because yeah. once it gets too warm, then they just don't have the same yeah. kind of...
So on your thing on the 4th, mm-hmm. Can someone take their cuttings, say, in January?
Yeah. And then keep them in the fridge mm-hmm. where they're cool uh-huh. With a little, barely damp little paper towel to uh-huh. keep it from drying out. Uh-huh. And yeah. then, and we'll have demonstrations. So the other thing, the way that we're growing, mm-hmm. and this year it's just going to be a little bit, but we're going to have some demonstrations and talks throughout the month. Uh-huh. So we're trying to grow it as a whole, celebration mm-hmm. of plants.
And that's in February.
Correct.
Okay. But what people could do now is, because that's coming up, think about so many things have already been harvested and maybe you didn't get your seeds, but to always be thinking of that.
Yeah. And even go out in the garden. You mm-hmm. You want to save a little for the birds and mm-hmm. critters out there, but gather some seeds if
yeah.
Because there's right. still some out there.
Right. And if you know what seeds you're getting.
yeah. And then that's always the thing about the seed swap. So definitely there are some seeds that are easy to save seeds, but then there's also that are what we call the easy ones that don't cross. So pumpkins, for instance, are yeah. really easy to save the seeds from,
yes.
right?
Oh, yes.
But what you get from a pumpkin seed isn't
yeah.
the easy part because they need to be isolated because they're in the same yes. species as a lot of the other squashes and gourds.
And gourds. We had that happen here where a neighbor had a gourd and yeah. everything in that family that we grow did not taste good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So some of those squash, second generation yeah. unknown can be tricky, but tomato, yeah. There's some things yeah. that you're going to get a tomato.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not going to be that brandy wine or
right,
that other,
yeah,
but
right, yeah.
if yeah. it came from a hybrid, then yeah. there's possibilities it could be sweet, sour, sure. anything that the parents have. But sure. normally if you sure. grew a brandy wine, you save the seeds from the brandy wine, it's going to be pretty brandy wine-ish.
Uh-huh, gotcha.
Corn is another one that could be
all
anything.
Over the place.
Peppers, the hot ones.
Yeah.
The heat can cross readily, even the first generation uh-huh. of peppers. So that's another one. But
yeah.
when it comes to the flowers, it's really easy. Like zinnias yeah. or the zinnias.
Yeah.
If you don't care sure. about the colors.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's a ton of different lettuces out there mm-hmm. in the world
yeah.
that it's kind of neat if you're, if that's something that you're interested in, the varieties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the varieties could be colors, taste, and
yeah.
whether they're crispy or soft,
yeah.
whether they're heat resistant or not. And those ones don't readily cross, so that's a really great one for people to save seeds from. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that the biggest mistake is people might have, let's say they grow a 6-pack of the lettuce plants,
mm-hmm.
and then one bolts quickly.
Yes.
And then they go, oh, well, I'll just save seeds from that one.
Oh, that's not the
problem.
One.
Yeah, that's not the one. The problem with that is that it's going to likely carry on the
yeah.
next generation will carry on those really
yeah.
bolting.
Yeah, don't
so,
do that. Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's yeah. a bummer.
That but, makes sense.
But the best one is the one that you'd take some leaves and not cut off the head, but take some leaves and then let it bolt and
yeah.
then save
yeah.
the seeds.
So you watch your plants to see which ones do the best.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then those are the characteristics you bring to the seed exchange and
you
say.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when people bring the seeds, as much of a description as possible
mm-hmm.
is awesome. So the variety,
mm-hmm. What it did
picked,
for them. Yeah.
yeah. Like what were the qualities?
Yeah.
Anything that
yeah.
It's helpful.
Neat. Oh, that's such a great idea. I love the idea of the fact that if you had a garden, a vegetable garden, and they could all be seeds that were gotten from here
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
Not with a particular name.
Right.
But
because that's the thing is I struggle between because most people want to, they identify
mm-hmm,
certain characteristics
mm-hmm.
by that name.
Right.
And I haven't done it very often where I just kind of lump it in. This is
yeah.
a hardy tomato number one.
yeah. Right, yeah.
At least for selling at the store.
Yeah.
But I definitely promote it at the seed swap.
Sure.
For us to do that.
Yeah. That it, you don't know. It's this is a hearty tomato for here.
Yes.
Or it was for these people anyway.
Correct. Yeah. Highly productive.
Yeah. Right. And the seed swap is February 4th.
Correct.
We'll definitely say more about it when it gets closer. Maybe we can do another little talk. Let's just say it again. You've got your little nursery, and that's Harvest and Habitat.
Yeah.
And that's Thursday through Sunday behind 1078, and it's off Park at 17.
Park and 17.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Right now, a lot of things are going dormant. Losing their leaves,
so
are going back, so they're as fun
not
to look
as
at.
Thrilling.
Their scents aren't as strong, but it is the best time to plant.
Yeah.
The perennials. And that's always because the plants aren't at their peak look.
Right.
Or, you know, their peak visually.
Yeah.
It's hard to convince people to plant at this time. And a lot of people wait till spring. But if they really want their plants to be drought tolerant or to grow bigger, gotta get them in the ground. And the fall's the best time, winter's the second best, and then spring is third
like
best.
Like now, but get it in there now.
Yeah, well, if I could say one other,
one
other thing is that I'm part of a program called Bloom, and it's a California-wide native, through the Native Plant Society, it's a promoting native plants. And then Cal Water is also doing a lawn replacement program where they're paying people to take out their lawn and put in
drought resistant stuff.
Yeah. They're also, I think they're giving money for hardscaping and rocks and stuff like that. But it's an easy way out, but it's not great for habitat and for the soil. So it's putting in, you know, at least just a couple of big manzanitas or big salvias and just letting them take over is far better than just a yard of rocks. Yeah. But through the Bloom program or going on to CalScape, you can go and type in your address. There's a place where you can go to type in your zip code and find whatever native plants are good for your area. And then you can also type in, like there's a place where you can say, find the nurseries that carry that. And then you can also go into those nurseries and, like mine, and see the list of plants that we carry. So it's one way to help plan your garden from home on those rainy days, too.
Yeah, that is neat. And it's CalScape.
Yes.
Yeah, like CalScape. Landscape.
Exactly.
CalScape. Mm-hmm. Is it calscape.org?
Pretty
probably.
Sure, yes.
But if you do CalScape, you find
it.
And your nursery's in there, and it has all the... Oh, that's must be a big list.
It's a big list, and I have to say I probably only update it every quarter or so, because it's not a dynamic list that you can keep on changing as you get stuff in. You have to re-enter everything, but it gives an idea.
Yeah,
and that program also allows you to say, you know, you're looking to have a pollinator garden versus like I live in an HOA area, need it to be neat. And then it also has if you've got full sun, full shade, or what kind of space. So it's a real
good
landscape helper.
Great. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great talking to you.
You too, Bobby.
Bye. You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Sherry Scott from Harvest and Habitat. You can find her on Facebook or Instagram by looking for Harvest and Habitat. And you can call her at 530-680-7020. My name's Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take every Tuesday and Thursday. Catch it on KZFR's website, go to programs, and go down to Tuesday. Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico.